I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mahmoud is a genuine guy, and I think he's giving it all, but it's a very frustrating situation. I think they both are clashing at the moment.
Get out of my fucking house! Go!
Hello, this is Captain Poodle speaking. Are you ready to find love?
Yes, ahoy, matey.
Love.
Do-do-do-do.
Exciting and new. Go online. They're catfishing you.
Shocker.
Fiance.
Soon you'll be flying to parts unknown.
90-day Beyonce.
Marrying someone you've only met on your phone.
Be they French or Chinese, a brand new K-1 visa's the key.
Ooh, the key to what, Poodle?
To love.
It's reality, yes, let's love.
Hello.
And good morning. To all our friendly dick pigs, Canadian dick pigs.
It is only in, those of you who were at our Toronto show last night just screeched.
We went off.
This. even more than what I just watched this morning with Nicole screaming, "Get out of my fucking house!"
Oh.
After Julian did his kind of Blair Witch. On camera.
This is going to be in the pantheon of 90 day most famous memes.
It's because it happened right behind him.
Right.
And when she closed the door.
And then it opened again.
Door.
And then she came back to slide it again.
But y'all.
And he just blinks.
We did. God, something about him looks like half his face looks prosthetic to me. It's like someone put prosthetics on him to make him look like a different person.
Maybe he has filler. I don't know.
It's not that, though. It's not even about filler. It's like certain things look like it's putty. Like his skin might like melt off.
All right. Well.
Y'all, we're in Toronto. The day after the Toronto show, my voice is trashed. It was a fantastic show. We premiered our Songfinch original song written by, I should really be able to shout his name out.
Well, look it up.
I'm going to tell you. I think he's a Canadian singer-songwriter.
No, I think you went through and picked Canadian people.
I wanted to pick a Canadian person.
Here, while you're doing it, I'm going to eat my Mars bar.
Don't remember Misophonia people.
Well, y'all, Misophonia people, we've got some Canadian goodies that some sissies gave us that we're going to be trying on the show today. If you don't like it, skip it.
Wow.
It'll be in the show notes. So there you go. I'm having a bite of my Mars bar now because we don't make these anymore. And
is that it? I think
they're hard to find in the U.S.
Now, the song is called To All Our Queens by Simon Austin. Definitely not his real name. But
no,
that's really cool. And we're going to be putting it on our social media, our Instagram sometime. Mm-hmm. But the Toronto sissies got to hear it last night. Christina came up with a video for us behind it. It was
great video.
It was so surreal. It showed all of our Canadian sissies who
We've been
waiting for since basically the podcast started, which is like 2018, 2019.
Yeah, we met a lot of OG people who've been listening that we've seen online.
2018, 2019.
It was wonderful. It was a wonderful, wonderful experience. The Opera House was a great space to be in. Yeah. There were, I gotta say, y'all, coming to the live shows, Toronto Sissies brought out their straight men and mini backwards hats.
They did
not fucking come to play.
They trotted out this one French one.
Ooh.
Whoa.
Well, and the other sissy with that tall brother. I'm telling y'all, Vancouver. You better put it up.
You better come to play with those boys.
Or anybody.
I've been to Vancouver. They're hot boys there too. It's kind of like the LA of Canada. it's as warm as it gets.
It's warm as it gets.
Right, I should say coastal. Coastally warm, because like the Northeast is very rainy.
Well, and that's the climate of Canada, everybody, because you all wanted to know. This is Happily Ever After, season 8, episode 6.
Did you get the name? I promise we're not really messy. We actually planned. Those of you who saw the video just now, we actually set up a shot. This was some John Cassavetes shit that I had to explain to him.
Wasn't clear, but it was a good idea. Here, I'll look up the title. You go ahead.
All right. So we finished we did our Toronto show last night. The original song called To All Our Queens by Simon Austin. We premiered that. That'll be on our socials probably later this week. You can see what's been done. Lots of private jokes, some about Aunt Peggy, some about Elizabeth Smart.
It was great. What fairy tale name will this be?
Oh, God.
Oh, this is a good name. The Itsy Bitsy Liar. The Itsy Bitsy Liar.
So I guess it was Sophie who was lying about.
I guess so. Not- Next episode is called Humpty Dumped Me. This title. Okay. They must have heard us talking about bad titles because they've fucking
stepped
it up.
No, they're bringing it this season.
Yes. The Itsy Humpty Bitsy Dumped Liar. Me. Yes.
Could that be about Baguette and Liz?
That is 100% it, because he is a male version of Humpty Dumpty. Shut up.
We don't talk about them, so it's fine. I think this season is heating up, and I think it's going to be much better than last Happily Ever After. Happily Ever After.
Yeah, I think so.
Y'all, we have an assortment of Canadian
snacks. Ooh, you want to try some?
Snacks. I'll.
Caitlin got us ketchup chips, y'all, because I love ketchup chips.
Okay, I've had them before. Oh.
They're so good.
Mm. Don't eat it near the microphone. Mm. Here, I'll try one. Mm. I'm not a fan.
Mm. Love them.
They're too tart.
I love the tartness.
My problem is the sweetness.
I love the combo.
Now, it's just vinegar.
Now, these, Caitlin said they're really good. They're Miss Vicky's. Well, hold on, let me read them before you grab.
You're gonna fuck it up.
They're called All Dressed Up.
Yes.
Or Bien Assaisonné.
Give it to me. Bien Assaisonné.
That's what I said. All what are
well now, assassinated.
I don't know what flavors these are. Caitlin,
this is
said
fully
good.
Dressed. Here, this is more crunchy. That's delicious.
It's good. They taste like sweet onion chips.
That's delicious.
Those are good.
It's like mayo, ketchup, mustard.
I still like the ketchup better, but I like them. Now
I'm for the fully dressed Mars bar.
The Mars bar. Now we also have. I'm saving it last. Y'all gave us so many coffee crisps, which I don't know if you like them. I love them.
I like them. And I don't love them the way you do.
You want to open? This is apparently called it's a chocolate egg.
The Mars bar tastes like a Milky Way.
It does. I said a Milky Way meets a Three Musketeers.
There's nougat.
There's nougat. I love nougat. What happened to nougat?
Nougat.
Is nougat a vet? What is nougat? It's just milky stuff, right?
I think it's some type of gelatinous. It's almost like cloudy.
In it. Yeah, it is like cloud. Now, this is an egg.
Cream of Musketeers is all nougat.
Which I love them. This is an egg, but inside it, she said this is illegal in the United States.
I can't take it back with me. It's got toys in it. Because it our American children, our dumb American children, would put their toys in their mouths.
As you would have when you were a kid, as I would have.
Fair.
It is, I will say, it does feel like that's not a great design. Let's make something edible and put a piece of plastic in the middle of it.
Oh.
That's a big toy.
I can see why these are illegal in our country.
That's a big toy.
The chocolate is so-so.
No, Caitlin said the chocolate's crap. That's why I'll let you eat it.
What is this?
What's the toy? Oh, it's a Mickey Mouse.
This could definitely be swallowed by a child. I was wrong. These things are a menace.
This was our Christmas present, but it got shipped back to her. So
the chocolate is...
That's why it's Christmassy.
The chocolate is okay.
We also have, which we've had before, we have some Smarties, which I enjoy.
Which are like M&Ms in the U.S.
Yes. And I'm going to have a little coffee, Chris, now because I'm having coffee. And we got some other stuff, too. Some sissies.
Maple syrup. We got some maple syrup. We got some t-shirts. One that says Gavin the Gay Gecko.
We got some dick pic cookies.
Yes.
Some. We mentioned their name. Megan and I think Aaron and Fiore. It's like
Fiora.
Fiora Forini.
I never read this. You read it out to me.
I'm kind of impressed I can remember those names. But they're beautiful cookies that are in the shape of a penis that say, eat a dick. Or dick pig.
Other cities. Y'all, Toronto went hard last night. You're gonna have to step it up on this tour.
a little hard coffee, bro.
Please stop eating it on the mic.
I'm not. But misophonia people, they can skip it.
Yeah, misophonia people just skip all of this whole thing. We just thought it would be fun to eat. And try Canadian food.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Mm, that's good. Mm.
Anyway, Toronto's been fun.
It's been a ball.
Our next tour, this is the last stop on our second leg. The third leg, insert joke here.
The third leg. Insert we third leg love here. The third leg. We'll be going to...
Nashville
on May 7th, and then Tampa on May 8th, Orlando on May 9th, and then Fort Lauderdale on my brother's birthday, May 10th.
Basically, it's Nashville and the Florida circuit.
Yep.
I will say, South Florida sissies, I'm a little disappointed. Our ticket numbers are not great.
Uh-oh.
So, y'all yelled at us. You basically said it's a different state altogether. It's a different country, so you need to come to South Florida.
So, a lot of them haven't come to Fort Lauderdale. Because, y'all, we can't do Miami because there's not a venue
for us. It's really close to Miami.
Just make a nod of it. Come up.
But I was actually shocked. As many DMs as I got. Yes, I'm shaming you. As many DMs as I got to schedule a South Florida show is our tickets are not great there. So, the other venues are pretty good in Florida so far.
Tampa came hard for us.
Tampa
too,
and Orlando are pretty good right now. Tampa was so much fun. Yeah.
I wonder if Daniel and Ranch Dressing are coming.
We do invite them.
Of course, they're going to want to go out again, and we have a show the next day in Fort Lauderdale.
And that queen who lost his phone.
Mm-hmm. Or no, Orlando.
Where city the dreams are made of.
Anyway, and
let's just get to this.
Yeah. So, and then we just want to remind people, May 29th, Austin. May 30th, Dallas, Houston. May 31st.
That's the fourth leg.
Mm-hmm. But it's almost May. Get your tickets now.
Yes.
Plan your, we know that y'all go a lot into planning this. That's why, we didn't we hated about Minneapolis. And so, but we know that y'all plan a lot and everything, and we appreciate it. And so, yeah, there you go. Plan the end of May now. Tell your cousin you can't go to their fucking high school graduation. Tell them basically everyone graduates from high school. Yeah. It's not a big deal. That's actually not true.
And we're doing the best we can. I apologize for our voices today because being on tour is hard. And
that
so
that stage was dry. I was cracking.
It was a very dry stage. Yeah, I heard it.
You were flat.
No, I was doing great. Yeah.
Don't listen to the recording. This light's pretty in here. Look at all these pictures. We're in this hotel.
I described it as it's Eastern a European couch. Dictator chic.
Yeah, that fits.
And it's and it,
there's
like,
a sign that says "Taint me."
I think supposedly Lenny Kravitz had something to do with this design.
Did Lenny Kravitz fuck on this couch?
Not this one. This they would have been in the penthouse. You're way down.
I'm on the eighth floor.
I think this is like still 40, where people are slumming like it.
43.
Yeah. You're
because I guess the bottom of this is a hotel, and this is the upper part residences.
Yes.
Well, look at that. Someone lives here.
Anyway, this hotel was made as a lifestyle hotel. And so not as much of a desk to work on, but this table was meant to do lines off of.
Oh, right.
And sign things for trafficking people. Note to future poodle.
Yeah.
Don't talk about trafficking.
Let's move on, shall we? Let's move on.
I think that's I know what I wanted to say. So
great. Only 25 minutes.
During tour, you guys seem to think, some people thought that we're not going to do any shows, any like of our Happily Ever After, that none of them will air on Sunday and Monday. But that's not the case. It's only on the weeks when we're on actual tour. Yes.
And we're going to start, we kind of did this last week. We're going to start, anytime we go on tour, we'll put an announcement or do like a little podcast letter. Or what we did a thing on Patreon of letting people know what shows we're covering.
Right.
So we'll always have that.
This is, and I'm also having to say this because some people think that we're out on tour and we don't stop, but we actually, the way we set it up, mostly for you guys and for our schedule, is that so we can have some type of consistency.
Yeah.
And so we're out for about a week or 10 days, and then we're back in LA where things will be pretty regular. So it might be week to week, things might be off. But you're not going to get 7 weeks without us regular schedule. So that's not how our tour works.
We try to stick to stuff as much as we can. So
if you actually just look, you can see our entire tour schedule on our Instagram link. So you can see there when we're probably going to be away.
Yeah.
All right.
So anyway, thank you for your patience. We're doing our best.
We are. So let's jump into Miss Mood and Nicole in the middle of where he's just called her. I had some really choice words too for her last night, where he's just called her she has just called him a hateful little fuck in front of her bougie friends.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, even the drunk woman's like, where are we?
her first line, she's like, I'm sorry to make you uncomfortable, but enough is enough. And what's actually...
This is like my parents when they would fight in front of my friends.
That's so like, rude.
Like,
it's so rude.
And my friends would be like this.
It's it's funny, but also it's something that it's kind of like a pet peeve of mine.
It's awful.
I think it's awful. And basically you're telling someone that's your friend that has nothing to do with that your life is more important than their experience in your house. And that's, if it's so un-Southern to me.
Well, she's...
Or just, and so that's, I think it just shows just the levels of Nicole not giving a fuck about anybody else except for her. That fact that she is not only, this isn't, as we see, as Poodle's talked about, this isn't her just like having a moment where she lets her emotion out. It's literally her going, Julian, go take care of him. Go literally having her friends do the dirty work for her. It's horrible.
This is
horrible.
This is all part of the friends enabling her because she is surrounded by enablers. The only person she will tolerate being in her life is anyone who enables her.
I agree.
Anyone who challenges her, she immediately cuts out of her life. Mm-hmm. The only reason that Mahmood is still in her life is because he's a challenge.
Yeah.
Because ain't no bigger challenge to this type of Islam that he practices
mm-hmm.
than a woman who's going to basically say, your religion doesn't matter to me, and I will do what I want to, and I will, and at the very end, since when I've converted you, you will tell me you like it. And it's, that's the sick part of it all.
Yeah.
Like I said last night's show, I said, first it's going to be, he's eating pickles, pig's feet, and then she's going to ban him to pray, and they're going to like go to paint and drink classes, and she's going to make him paint Muhammad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's like, oh my God, you're making me paint Muhammad. Yeah, I am, fucker. Enjoy.
I am so glad I'm not involved in your role play.
But I laugh, y'all, but it's sick. This is really bad.
It's really bad.
She's like, they're talking about the dress, and in some ways, it's not about the dress. She is really oversimplifying this. She's like, well, he told me that he's going to divorce me because I wore a dress.
Yeah, nothing of the, again, y'all, I think I said this on a live show. He's only been here for 2 days. It feels like 4 weeks.
What a difference two days make.
Yes.
48 little hours.
And she's not taking any responsibility for her horrible behavior
ever.
To him on the pier. Well, ever. But especially what just happened at the pier. 12 hours ago.
And I don't think this idea of meeting halfway is having a dress that's half covered up. It's kind of like, how can you be half pregnant? It is kind like, of that.
It is like when you, it's like my voice teacher used to say, you either know the notes or you don't.
Wow, that sounds like it cuts deep.
He would say, he's like, you can't be kind of pregnant. Same
exactly.
With knowing your music.
And then Muhammad, sorry, I keep trying to say Muhammad. Mahmood says, she chose me as a Muslim person and she knows who I am. We've been together for 4 years. Now, in fairness to, not really in fairness to Nicole, in Mahmood's deference, he does try to appease her, saying, I will try to change a little bit. But I think what he's saying here is his big thing is she is not accepting of who I am. And I've been in this country 48 hours, and she wants me to completely throw away everything I've had.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause the whole alcohol in the house, y'all, he didn't say anything. He was freaked out.
Yeah.
That is a grievous sin.
He thinks he's going to get struck by lightning or some shit. Like,
that's what his religion
says. Like, not to make fun of it. It's not like, oh,
not
that's
struck
wrong.
By lightning. It is wrong.
But it's fear.
It's wrong.
It's fear that like something karmically bad could happen to him for doing that.
Yeah.
Like when we were younger and when you were in early college and you sucked a dick and you went, oh God, is Jesus going to care?
You know what? The first time I sucked a dick, I had no thought about Jesus caring.
Oh, I did. But remember, y'all, Jesus doesn't care if you suck a dick.
Doesn't care. I think I'd stop believing in anything at that point.
Great.
I think I'd stop believing in anything at like age 11.
Oh, okay. Wow. Wow. That'll be a great memoir.
The fifth grade atheist.
Woo! That'll be a chapter of the first book. Julian goes and talks to Miss Mood, and I think I would like to do this as a reality gaze theater, if we may.
Okay.
I'll be playing Julian. Poodle's going to be Miss Mood. Miss Mood's having a cigarette to herself, just trying to get away from things. Just
trying to calm my mood.
Just trying to calm
my Miss Mood.
And Julian comes up. And action.
Hi.
Hey, I'm still calling Miss Mood for the scene because I can't say
definitely.
Okay. Hey, Miss Mood. man, sounds rough right now, but I've been there too, bro.
You have?
Oh, yeah.
What have you had that's like this?
Oh, yeah, you just got to be patient. I remember this girl, Jennifer, when I was in college. Oh, man.
Jennifer?
Yeah, I had a Ford Bronco. I wanted to go down on her. She said no, but I just waited around.
No, I don't do anything like this.
What? No, it's the same thing. It's the same thing, right? You know what I'm talking about, right?
No,
ladies.
Ladies.
Ridiculous.
I just really miss Egypt, and nothing is like here, and nothing is like back home, and I don't know what I did here, and I don't know why I came, and we're so different religiously, even though she says she's Muslim. I don't know what's going on.
Oh, yeah.
And I need to leave.
Yeah, I know exactly what that's like, man.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I dated this one girl. Her name was Carla. Yeah, she was from New Jersey, and I liked it. She kind of had this wild side and was like Jersey. She kind of hit me around a little bit. We were really hot and heavy, and then she just moved back to Jersey because apparently some guy got her pregnant. Oh, man, I was heartbroken. Oh.
So you're saying
I know exactly what you feel.
Being from Jersey and me being from Egypt are the same thing. I
mean, look. Can't women all, they're just ridiculous. Women just get ridiculous, man. You know what I'm talking about? Just women. Oh,
yeah.
Whoa, chicks.
I do, especially when she throws pasta at my face.
What? Oh, been there. Yeah. I haven't even.
It's hot.
I haven't even told you about Vanessa, who was Italian. Whoa. Have you ever had pasta sex?
I want to leave this conversation.
And scene.
Talk about two people with no,
Julie.
No conversational collateral, with nothing in common.
I laughed and laughed and laughed when he was like, "Yeah, my wife, my blonde Ukrainian wife, didn't feel comfortable here for 6 years."
I mean, so what? She was drop dead gorgeous. So what if other rich men tried to buy her off of me? She had it just as hard.
Women.
She wanted to go back as soon as, and you know what? And so what if she had porcelain skin and blonde hair and you have darker skin and look like you don't come from here?
What is that? It reminded me, like he was just going to start singing that song of, what is it? It's from a musical. Whether blonde or brunette, what you'll get, and the man doesn't stand a chance. You can read about women in school, but they'll still make you look like a fool.
Nothing like a dame?
Is it nothing like a dame?
Keep going.
Maybe that's all I remember. That's all I remember.
Why don't you look up the...
Julian's trying, y'all. He's trying.
That's South Pacific, I think.
It is South Pacific. Yeah. There ain't nothing like a dame.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said. Now,
that's what I thought he was going to just start singing. Nothing in the world.
Did you do that at Ardmore Little Theater?
Did we do?
And I'm scared to ask because I'm scared where they got the Asian actors.
There weren't any. There weren't any in South Pacific.
No.
No. No.
No.
I believe they were Native American. They did. Oh, wait. No, one woman was white because she had fake tanner on, too. I was not in South Pacific because I was a little younger. But it was one of the... I saw Oklahoma was the first show I saw with the Jelonas. But then Vicky Jelona, again, was the woman who sang... A very white woman who sang Bali. She was great. She was
Bloody
so good.
Mary.
She was Bloody Mary.
The indigenous woman.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. I assume she put on fake tanner to do it.
400%. I got to go to the Goddard Center. I can look at the pictures. But anyway, it was great.
So, so she's... She's really what gets her, y'all, is she's like, I'm just pissed that he lied about the fight we had. What is he supposed to do?
But you lied too.
Right. But what I'm saying is he supposed to say, yeah, we had a real knockdown drag out about me not liking her dress. And the thing about it is, she's like, he's making me look a fool in front of my friends.
I will say, again, we're not fans of either of them. And, you know, he did a lot of different and similar things to her in Egypt. But at the same time, I think you really see that Mahmood is dealing with someone with a personality disorder. And I think that, like, I think that for Nicole, I do think that she has some type of narcissism. And I think that for her, for all of her friends, she thinks he's, quote, lying because she always puts her baggage and her life out there for everyone to fix and pick up the pieces and for them to deal with.
Yeah.
And if someone doesn't do that, she thinks they're being inauthentic. She doesn't realize he's just trying to not make people. He's actually having empathy for them.
Going along to get along.
And he's not, doesn't want to make them uncomfortable either, I imagine.
Yeah, well,
she doesn't have that switch in her head.
No, because she's got a fucking personality disorder.
It's all about her, yeah.
Yeah. That's why this will never be an equal playing field.
And because
that's why we can never say, but he's bad and she's bad. It's not that at all.
He's got his issues, but he doesn't have a personality disorder.
But that's why I'm saying we need to stop equating these two things.
Mm.
This is personality disorder behavior.
Her, yeah, she's
where whatever he does, she's not going to react typically.
Yeah.
It's going to be insanely different.
Yeah.
So we can't look at her trying to figure out why she makes the decisions she does.
Yes.
She's not well.
She's not well. And Miss Mood's starting to look at her suitcase. And
going,
kind of examining it like he'd never seen it before.
Could I fit in that?
Yes, that's how he...
If I just mailed myself back to Egypt, could I fit in that?
Is that how
I just
back?
Fold up my little body?
Oh.
Just on top of... I need to practice folding my body over so I could just ship to UPS or DHL back to... Just put a sticker on me that says, back to Cairo.
Back to Cairo.
As she threatened to say, I'm going to send your ass back to Egypt.
Yes.
I think this is... Her behavior is nothing different than what a lot of men do to women. In this situation.
Yeah.
But because she's tiny and petite, we immediately have some type of misplaced sympathy for her.
Well, she also has, again, it's a sign of narcissism that she calls him a traitor.
Oh!
And that's because when you don't agree with me, when you don't do what
team.
I want, you're against me. Whoever against the queen will die. This was up there on that kind of moment.
Yeah.
Miss Mood is at the point, he's like, I don't want to hear your voice again. And then there's this really gross part where Mahmood is trying to leave. And then Julian and Nicole
put their hands on him.
Physically put their hands on him to get him to stay. She actually grabs his suitcase from him and rolls it back in the refuse. It's.
I promise you, this is not the first time
creepy.
That she's put her hands on him.
It feels so gross and so creepy. And Mahmood's trying to leave. Finally, he says, don't touch me. She grabs a bag, but he says, fine, just take it. He goes out the door, and Julian, best line of the show, Julian's like, he's trying to still get him to stay, and as Mahmood is walking out the door, he's like, or maybe go out on the balcony. Maybe that's better. And then the front door just shut in front of him.
I gotta say, the addition of the barbecue friends in this scene made it just so much sweet.
Julian's trying to, her girlfriends are fucking drunk outside smoking on the patio because they've seen this before. Same script, different cast.
I agree. I think she's had a string of these kind of relationships.
Oh, 100%. Sorry, the coffee.
They cannot get finished quickly enough for me.
Cobaly. Yeah. Let's talk about Cobaly. Kobe and Emily.
Cobaly. That does sound like a Jerry Lee Lewis song.
It does.
Cobaly.
Fuck it to be true.
So Kobe is still limping. He's putting his leg up. And Emily is being, so your leg hurts, right? Oh, that wasn't a smart move.
She's pissed. She came into this hot.
She's like, so your friends don't think you'll be happy with me in the long run. And
he's like, and Kobe goes, how did this happen?
Yeah.
Like, what?
Because she comes in out of nowhere and she's like, well, you know what? I don't, and Kobe's like, don't, he's like, in the moment, he's like, don't really, because she even says, I'm not going to have them coming to the wedding. So, and that's when he went, okay.
He said, my country, my rules.
This is not how we do this. She's like, oh, well, they have to approve of us. Anyone who does not approve of us is not coming to our wedding. Very common thing in 90 Day Fiancé. And apparently they have to, each of them, everyone who attends has to sign a blood oath that they believe that Emily and Kobe are a good couple.
I've been to so many of my friends' wedding where I'm like, this ain't gonna work out.
There is no wedding ever that with a certain segment of people that no wedding ever where someone thinks this is not gonna last a year.
Because Poodle, why do we go to weddings?
For food,
for cake.
And for booze.
Go for cake.
Cake, and for free booze.
I mean, I can get booze
because
anymore,
who gives a shit if it works?
Maybe their children and families, but sure.
Yeah, do we? It's not our deal. Take the responsibility off of yourself.
Whoa.
You can wish them well, but it's not about,
Well, then Emily goes, are you going to invite your ex-girlfriend? And Kobe is going, Kobe's face is just
at
like.
At one point, it's like.
What the fuck happens?
Are you going to start spitting pea soup at me at one point? And she's like, I knew about it. And he's like, I don't know where you're going with this. And then she said, well, I found out when you were in China and you had your Cameroon girlfriend and you were proposing to me and you weren't single. And he's like, this is bullshit. Valerie told you this. That's the male Valerie. We're going to meet the female Valerie.
Yes.
Later on.
Baby Val.
And later on, Emily's like, well, let's call her up. I want to meet her.
Because Kobe says, I do talk to her, like randomly.
Not a good thing to say.
No,
deny, you don't.
You say,
Kobe.
I don't ever talk to her. And because Emily's like, does she know about me and our children? He's like, yes, she knows.
I believe this is stretching.
I think it's stretching. I do say too, and we're going to talk about this later.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle. I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's Lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even Keep Going Queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation, or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song to all our queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey, our Canadian listeners. We know you get tired of waiting. Reality Gaze is coming to you. So no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Have hope, have hope. Keep going, queens!
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast.
I actually do think that, like, I think his friend Valerie is a fucking troll.
Yeah.
And an asshole.
Yeah.
Culture beside, this guy is fucking trolling Emily. And he, if this is either fake or regardless, I think he wants this to happen. Something is, what feels different to me, these guys almost feel like they're upset at Kobe because he chose an American woman and left them. But because men don't say you hurt my feelings and leaving, they feel, yeah. I feel like they're taking that, all their anger out and transferring it to Emily. And because, well, I got to say, earlier when they met, he, at least in the edit, he's the one that came at her first. At the dinner, he comes at Emily first. Like, yeah. I actually felt for Emily in this
what
segment.
The issue is they take Emily's behavior to Kobe as a personal insult.
Yes.
To their own way of life.
Yes.
And so it's difficult when that's the culture that you've always been in to see anything else as an affront to your own way of life. I understand their viewpoint. I don't necessarily, of course, I don't agree with it, but Emily's doing the same thing. She's only seeing the way she behaves and she's seeing it an insult to herself.
Yeah. Well, and it's almost like, I wonder if Kobe, did Kobe Chantel Emily in a way? Because Kobe's not speaking up. Kobe could stop the whole conversation by saying, because he said this in the moment, but he didn't say this to them, of saying, hey, I chose an American woman. I like my life. I like the way it is. He has said that to the camera. He has not said this to his friends.
Because.
So in a way, it feels like he is Chantelling Emily.
Here's the problem. And I think you're overlooking a huge part of being a man in Cameroon. If you completely isolate yourself from your friends and you think differently, you've lost them. It makes perfect sense to me why he's not going to say that in front of them.
But then that just then supports my theory of they're angry at Kobe and they're taking it out on Emily.
That's
possibly how they're feeling underneath it, and that's why they're trolling her.
But in Cameroon, the sexes are so separate that they're seeing, she is the, they can't be angry at him.
Yeah. They can't.
They can't be angry at him. Yeah. She's the one they don't know. And it's considered she's a woman who is being, as they say, not submissive.
Yeah.
So immediately she is the problem.
Yeah.
In their culture.
Her the problem. Yeah.
It's not even they're making her. She is the problem in their culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Compared to, like, that's how culture survives,
mm-hmm.
is stasis.
Yeah.
And she's breaking this, and it's going to take them a long time. Maybe this is all made up. I don't even know. But it's going to take them a while to deal with someone who is so outside their culture.
Because
mm-hmm. these people haven't really been out of Cameroon.
Yeah.
So I understand it, and this is just what's really difficult about when you're so have cultural mores that are run so counter to each other. One person has to bend more.
Well, and what is interesting, and I know it's culture, and I'm not just straight, but it is frustrating to watch that when we see in the next segment the person that bends more is always the fucking woman, because baby Val gets it.
Yeah.
She understands it. She gets it. She's able to talk, have this relationship with Emily, be able to see both sides of the situation. It's just, yet again, and no matter what culture, straight men are the last to compromise. It's just like, fuck.
Yeah. I mean, I'd like to disagree with you there, but I don't know if that's going to be changing.
No, yeah. It's soon. Just like,
But this is someone who has learned to negotiate her world. Emily has no idea how to do that.
And why would she?
Cannot do it.
How would she if she didn't grow up, you know?
Because she is an American. Problem is she's too American that she doesn't understand that she needs to respect some of the rules here.
And I don't think Kobe, either out of fear or just Kobe not communicating well, I don't, because some people said, oh, why didn't she Google that? I don't think this is something you can Google. I think this is an experiential thing of being in the culture. Like,
however,
having conversations with baby Val,
well,
and other women probably can help her.
He has told her, can you please take it down a couple of notches?
But I'm saying, you just talked about the separation. How could Kobe explain that as a man? He doesn't know what it's like to be a woman in Cameroonian culture.
That is true. But what he has told her is, they use the word bossy, and I think that's a translation they're using. It's probably what they're talking about is a woman acting like a man. That, to me, is what they consider bossy.
Baby Val calls her bossy.
And, well, that's what I'm saying. I think so. It's that kind of transgression that a woman is speaking for a man.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have a transgression in a culture that runs so deep, people are going to fucking freak out.
Yeah.
I'm shocked Emily can't see it and she doesn't respect it. That's what I believe.
Well, I think that's what I was saying. I think she's seeing it now. I don't think she could prepare for that.
But she won't. What she's in this next scene at the bar, she's not listening.
Well, let's talk a little bit about her and baby Val first.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk about that, because that's where she says, like, her and baby, which this was Kobe's roommate. So Emily knows her as well. Their kids playing's fucking adorable. And so Emily and baby Val sit down to talk. They're having a beer. And she tells a story about they used to call Kobe six pack because he'd always take his shirt off, and how that kind of all changed once they met. And Emily's talking and she's like, well, the trip's going really, really well. She's like, it's really well. There's a little bit of bumps. I'm a little bossy. And baby Val's like, no. You're always bossy. You should listen and ease up. And I think, again, I hope Emily in Cameroon, maybe with some of the women in his family, I think it would be really good for her to have more relationships with Cameroonian women.
I agree. Do you see the way baby Val is talking about sometimes you have to lose to get? I don't think she sees it as even compromise. I think this is how we have to negotiate.
Mm-hmm.
And Emily only sees it as me losing and Kobe winning.
Mm.
That's, to me, the big issue here.
I don't know if I agree with that. I don't think that she's the type of person of me losing, Kobe winning.
Why do you think she won't back down a little bit, even though he has told her?
I think her winning and losing, that makes it sound like it's her wanting to be right. I feel like
I agree. I think that's true for her.
I think for her, a lot of it comes, I think she acts like she's not, but she's a super anxious person. So I think for me, I feel like that comes all from her anxiety of she has too much anxiety just to sit with it. So she has to
but
vomit it out on other people.
If it manifests as that, it's the same thing. If it manifests as being, I need to have complete control over things, it still needs to change.
No, it needs to change. Yes, it needs to change.
I don't think yes behind it is what's important, but how it's manifesting, basically the woman is telling her, calm the fuck down.
She is.
This is not how it works here. You're going to be here for 12 fucking days.
And she says you should, that's where she gets the idea. You should try to get closer with his friends. And was like, okay, great. Let's go out and try to have fun.
Why couldn't this have been a charm offensive for Emily?
A charm offensive? What do you mean?
In other words, charm offensive. It's an oxymoron. Mm. When they say, I'm going to do a charm offensive, it means I have a plan just to be kind. And so I get what I want.
Well, the reason why I go back to the fear and insecurity, because she said, kind of before the scene ends, she says to the camera, she's always felt pretty secure about Kobe moving there. And she said, maybe this trip is this how Kobe really feels? Does he really feel about this, about me and our relationship?
Part of him does, because you always talked for him.
Because you got to remember, they didn't meet in Cameroon.
Yeah.
They met in China. So she's never experienced him in this way.
This idea that she has that Kobe has a lot of thoughts that I don't know. He does. And trust me, honey, you don't want to hear them.
Everybody does in every relationship.
But she,
yeah,
she thinks she'd be okay with it. She would not.
No, I don't think she could tolerate it.
Her saying, is this really what he feels like? Is not going to help her. That's not good thinking for Emily.
But how, yeah, that's not.
But what I was saying about by a charm offensive, she even there in the moment he would say, I used to have a social life, and that's when she's like, welcome to being a dad. It is so just cutting him off at the legs.
Yeah, I see that.
And so just he's saying something, she has to say, welcome to being a dad because you're with me now, and what I say goes.
I think Kobe's actually really easygoing.
Exactly.
And that's why they get along. But she doesn't validate him continuously.
So later on, the friends are both all like this. We think this is a trap because we know we said these things. And she's like, so the friends are like, we were surprised you invited us out. But we thank you. But this is not usually what would happen. And
well, he said the first thing Valerie says, which this is really where I was like, shut the fuck up, dude. When he said, you know, it's a shock that you're taking us out. He's like, you know, and she said, and Emily's, I thought very well said, she's like, some things hurt my feelings, but I want to have a good time. Like she said, she didn't deny it, but she said, I want us to get along. And she offered that kind of olive branch. And his response to that is, well, we really have to pray for a better union for this relationship.
Right.
If someone said that to me, culture or not, I'd be like, okay, I'm out. Because you just completely shut down the conversation.
Why do you think she invited them out?
Just because she loves Kobe and she wants to she's trying to get along.
But what
I don't
is that?
Think she wants to fucking talk to them at all. She's just here because she's like, what we all do when we're in a relationship, you always have friends or somebody you're like, ugh, I don't really like this person, but they're my other half has a relationship with them and I've got to.
Right.
Because I actually think she was beginning to this. What you're talking about, I thought she was playing nice. And then Valerie just went in out of the gate with that comment. And then that triggered her again. And then she went off.
Yeah, I would tell myself, I'm here for 12 days.
Oh, no. Yeah.
This is a culture that is not way removed from me.
Yeah. I wouldn't let them see me sweat.
And she says, usually you invite us to. Now, the thing is, instead of listening, he says, usually you'd invite us to your home and you'd cook. And even before he finished, I don't have a house. I don't live here. Mm-hmm. It's all in tone. And she has no idea of how to talk to somewhere where she's not the boss.
I do think his tone, though, was the way he said was like, well, usually you would. He was very dismissive with it.
But you're talking about how people talk in America.
I agree. I'm
saying when one person sends someone else's country that is very different than yours, you have to adapt to their social mores.
I agree. But I think that's a lot for... I think that'd be a lot for any American woman who's not used to it to just have just... It's a lot to like have this guy keeps talking down to her as if she's lower than, which is the culture, but that's a lot to take.
I agree, but...
And I know you're not excusing that at all when you're saying that.
No, Americans do it all the time in other places.
I actually think you're coming from this from, to be honest, I think you're maybe not the majority perspective. You've traveled a lot. You've been around the world a lot. A lot of Americans haven't. I probably would react more like Emily than this because this would be a complete shock to me.
I think what the production really wanted to talk about them saying this is being in Cameroon, a woman is graded on her ability. And the thing is, y'all, this is not meant to insult her or denigrate her. Mm-hmm. They're literally saying this. Take them as this is they're literally trying to say this as this is how things are here.
Mm-hmm.
This is what culture is. Mm-hmm. You cannot destroy however many long thousands of years of culture in a night.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm thinking it's better just to listen and just without talking over. And instead of saying, but I don't have a house here, but I could cook for you, but we can't cook the apartment. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's just like she can't listen ever.
I agree. I think, but I don't think the way they said this was not without emotion. I think Valerie's enjoying weaponizing his culture as an excuse to talk down to her.
I just...
It's a lose-lose situation. And the person that needs to speak up and say something is Kobe, and he's not. He is silent the whole time.
I don't think he can be.
Yeah.
Because then he has to turn his entire back on... which he's already gave his country the shoulder. And this would be agreeing with his white wife over his friends. I don't know if they talked to him again.
You know who we had this with? We had this with Alexi and Lauren, where he chose Lauren and all of his friends. Remember, they didn't want to come. They didn't want to come to his wedding and everything. That was such a big deal too.
That was different though, because he had left. Part of that was his issue.
Mm-hmm.
He left. Israel and Cameroon are very different cultures.
Very yes.
But what was he left?
But they felt abandoned by him.
Because he left without saying goodbye.
Yeah.
It was more about him. This is someone who's trying to live in both worlds.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the cultural fabric is much more strict.
Yeah.
And I just thought and then of course Emily gets up and runs out. I just thought if Emily just fucking listened to what they had to say, instead of interrupting, instead of yelling, things could have been averted. This is coming into a place where women just don't have the power they do in America.
I don't think I could have done it either. I think I would have been an Emily.
Well, yeah, I could see that.
Lamar and me would come out. Yeah.
Well, you would, but you wouldn't get anything for that.
That's okay. I'd get it off my chest. That's why I'm not marrying a man from Cameroon. Although I think there's probably a different issue if I tried to marry a man from Cameroon.
Probably. What's next? I didn't
Rob
label
and
these.
Sophie.
Oh God.
Not much happened. Not much happened. I'm sorry, you're gonna have to dictate it. I watched nothing where they were holding the spider, trying to touch the spider. Couldn't watch it. That's all on you. Sorry.
It freaked me out.
I didn't see it. I just want to say this.
You know that's on television, right?
What do you mean?
Holding the spider. Mm-mm. That's on television. It's actually not there in front of you.
Mm-mm. No, thank
you. Okay.
Poodle.
This table looks like a meth table.
It does. I want to eat some ketchup chips.
No! Misophonia!
What do you think about this
plate of salmon on crackers?
Yes. That Rob said, you can't go wrong.
and he puts the ring actually in a little thing of cheese.
A little mozzarella ball.
First of all, who eats fucking mozzarella and salmon?
Yeah, cheese and fish usually do not belong together. I agree. Apparently, I had the fact that this, maybe this is one of her favorite foods or something. I don't know. British people do have, tend to have different food predilections than British people, than mm-hmm. Americans. But he says, he knows, he knows I don't like cheese. I'm like, what? Who doesn't like cheese? I know some people are lactose intolerant.
Some people, but it's a funkiness to them, or I don't know.
Wow.
It's Sophie.
Cheese is one of the most wonderful things in this world.
It is your favorite thing.
And I know that there are people who
that's
can't
eat it.
That's
why you eat pizza, because of the cheese.
And the bread, and the tomato sauce, and the melty, gooey, wonderful stuff. But she's like, cheese smells bad. And then I realized she's 23, but she behaves like she's 14.
Yeah.
Actually,
again,
she behaves like she's
it's
11.
It's just another example of Rob doing the least and thinking that's enough to impress her. And guess what? It does. Even though they don't know if this isn't the real wedding ring or not. And neither of them really know.
This was confusing.
You're
and
a fucking mess.
At one point, I just went, if they don't know this is the real ring and they don't care, why should I even care
watching
about the stakes?
I don't.
Yeah.
I
this
don't.
Was this was to me a real letdown. And I believe maybe things will get crazier, but they're just treading water.
Yeah.
And this couple did not need to be on Happily Ever After.
No.
Because they haven't been happy once.
No. I think there's rumors they're gonna be on Last Resort.
Ugh.
Which
I'm
with
not
the
watching.
Therapist that they had, I kind of would be into someone calling Rob on his narcissist. We'll see if they do that.
But he won't be able to. He will not be able
and
to.
And maybe we will find out
it.
More about Sophie's trauma. Because guess maybe. What, y'all? Sophie's never been to therapy.
Shocking.
Don't pull over. Something's happening in Toronto.
Y'all, later on, it's tarantula time.
Okay, this is all you.
And he's like, let's look at my babies. He has six tarantulas. Their mm-hmm. names are Swag, Venom, Amour, Charlie, Pokemon. I'm making up most of them.
Hacky Sack. What a douche.
And Bud.
Bud.
And Swag. I could have just thrown my computer out the window.
Yeah.
So he says, I like animals. Tarantulas are like pet rock, and they live like 20 years. I don't understand why.
So you're going, I did see the part where she's like, so you're going, I watched her in the moment. She said, so you're going to have these when you're 60. 60 years.
Yes,
40 years.
I'm not even questioning anyone's reasoning for having tarantulas. I question his reasoning for them. He says that they're cool. They're like a pet rock. You don't have to do anything. And I just want to watch them grow. It's such a weird explanation to have pets.
That's literally a metaphor of what Rob wants in his life.
Yes.
He wants to do nothing, and he wants everyone to grow and dance around him
yeah.
so he can just experience the revolutionary realm of life.
So Sophie's like, is it like a dog? Does it need to be pet? And so they're
yeah,
trying to
see this.
And this is a great example. She's like, Sophie's like, when I was a little, I love animals. She's like, when I was a little girl, when snails would come out, I would all grab the snails up because I didn't want people to step on them
aww,
and take them to the snail sanctuary. And I was like, boy,
wait,
is
there's
that
a snail sanctuary?
No, she made a snail
oh,
sanctuary.
Oh, I didn't watch this part. I was like, they had a snail
okay,
sanctuary?
You can't ask questions about parts you didn't watch. Like Kathy from Bachelor said, zip it. But I thought this is the most codependent thing ever. Needing to pick up the snails.
Well, the snails were her mother.
Exactly. Yeah. Before she had a Narcan, her mother.
Yeah.
Lord.
Anyway,
y'all.
Does she touch it?
She does, but she's like, and she's like, are you impressed with me? And then he has this big like thing of putting his ring back on. And that's like a big deal.
Doing the least. That should be his book. Rob.
Doing the least.
Would you touch a tarantula?
I don't think I would, mostly because I think I would if I knew it wouldn't move, I would touch it. If it was possible moving, I would touch one that was dead.
Because like I don't know stuffed. If they bite. Would you let one crawl on you?
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
They do bite. But maybe.
But I don't think they have venom. I don't know. I know nothing about tarantulas.
I think they do.
Someone can tell me. I don't care too much because I don't want to be around them.
They have venom because they have to eat things.
God.
Yeah, I don't think they have webs.
Can we move on?
Yes.
Let's talk about Kay.
There are tarantula sissies, so they can answer these questions.
Kay's trying to get her woman back.
Y'all, they're doing arts and crafts with Kay. I feel like we just invent stupid things for Sophie to do.
Yeah. They're doing friendship, which, by the way, we've got so many friendship bracelets from Sissy.
I'm not wearing mine today.
No, it's fine. Sissy made me one to Maddie, and this was in Detroit, and then another one that says, "Hey, Sugar." And then last night, we got this double one that says, "Keep going, Queens." It's really cute.
Mine turned my wrist to color.
No, the one turned pink first, but now it doesn't do it anymore. Just take a shower with it.
Kay hasn't seen her in a while, and she's like, have you having sex yet? Have you having bang bang yet? And then we find out, y'all, they have not had sex since they were married. They
didn't, 6 months.
They did not. I always hate the term of consummating the marriage. I think it's dumb. We like that's just if you've had sex before, you've had sex before.
Why would you want to do that with an 80-year-old man that you're exactly. just married?
Exactly. The marriage is there. You're through having sex.
You're just waiting for him to die now.
Exactly. It's the circle of life. I've done everything I needed to do.
Believe me, it was consummated before the marriage.
Yes. Consummated.
Do you need another pillow?
My pillow fell out.
Well, here, use another one.
No!
Poodle. Again, no, just play the music, play one. Clown music of Poodle trying to get comfortable, Christina. Here, take this pillow. You need it.
This is good. This is good.
Take them all. Here, take this big one. It'll.
Okay, that's better. So, they haven't had sex in 6 months. And he's like, he said he needed to dress me up and like blah, blah, blah. And Kay says, well, so now you have to role play, not like later in your marriage. I don't know if I would be that judgmental about just kink here, but there's a bigger problem that if they've just been married and I know they've been separated. What's your read on this?
They didn't live together for 2 months. So yeah. They said 6 months, but really it's four because they didn't live together. But still 4 months. No, I think what's happening in the bedroom is symptomatic for what's happening in the relationship.
Right.
And I think so. I think it's not good. I think this is not, especially this early into the marriage. We did have a sissy that sent, I don't know if you got this, who sent a picture saying the kind of role play Rob is into. And it was just someone dressed in a tarantula costume. And it was so fucking funny. But no, I feel like this is, it's not, they're not, it's this idea too that, which, when you're not intellectually stimulated or intellectually turned on by someone, you're not able to have sex. I think Sophie is very much that way, but it's interesting her listening to talk about Rob that I don't actually see Rob as a very sexual person.
I agree with you.
I think, and that's because he disassociates so well, but also he probably masturbates quite a bit, but I think he's thinking about his experience, not necessarily being with her.
Right.
And again, when you're a narcissist and someone has not, quote, chosen you and they're against you, you're not turned on by them.
The only reason he's pursuing her is because it feels like a failure to him. Full stop.
And maybe because he wants to stay on the show.
That's true, too. They're going nowhere.
Also, I feel like I feel like he probably is sticking with this because the way you talk about Big Danielle and Seeking Sister Wife, I think he wants to see if it ends. He feels like it, one day everybody's going to see it was all Sophie's fault.
Yep. I think there's something even worse here.
Oh, great.
In that role play, which can be very healthy for people. I think this type of role play for him needs to have something with a power dynamic that that is trying to only have sex where it validates his own narcissism.
Well, he needs admiration.
Right.
Exactly.
So this
That's
kind
why
of
he's cheating. That's why he's online cheating, because he gets at people look at his pictures.
Right.
And probably rob part of him. I don't know. Maybe he's too self-involved to see. I could see, though, a part of him feeling so actually, if you talk to him like actually a therapist really got him to do some fucking psychoanalyst or some shit, maybe down deep he would say, I'm boring. I'm not interesting.
Yeah.
There's nothing valuable about me.
And the role play he needs is the kind that makes him validated and like Superman, and the other person needs to be denigrated. And not submissive, in a way of like submissive, and not in a way that's like
not of healthy
BDSM kind of thing, but it's not healthy communicative.
She probably has to talk so much during sex saying this feels good.
Only
that's
imagine.
Such a good dick. That's I love your balls, whatever. And what even, a beautiful butthole.
Yes.
He does have a pretty butthole.
It's a nice butthole.
It is.
And later on, Kay's like, I just want you to be happy. Maybe with you could be happy with a woman. I mean me. I mean a woman. I mean a woman who's not me. I mean, have you tried fingering? I mean, with my finger. I mean,
finger me.
I mean, bang, bang.
Get up in there. I'm wet.
So.
And that's where Sophie says, well, he has internal stuff that he needs to work on. And I've said this before. What's frustrating about her. And oddly enough, I don't know if he does it, but Rob probably does a little bit more than her. Sophie doesn't have any self-awareness.
Zero.
She is zero. She has completely turned that part of. And when she said she never went to therapy, for someone to have a mother who's in drug addiction.
Yep. Who's and she's in recovery now.
Who's in recovery. Don't pull over again, y'all. Toronto. I hope they're safe. Her mother's in a program. I am positive her mother probably has mentioned to her about getting in a program. And this goes to kind of, you know, we put a lot of shit about Rob on this relationship. But I do think there is a refusal of her to think deeply or to think about the complexity of her feelings.
Yep.
And Rob is actually really sensitive. And I mean that in a positive way. I think he picks up on that and feels that, but instead interprets that as she's not thinking of his feelings. No, Rob, she can't even think of her own fucking feelings.
That's fair. It's fair. Yeah. Later on, we find out that she says she has been, did we find out before she says, I've never dated a woman. Did we find out before that she has been with women sexually?
She said yes.
She said it when she was much younger.
Yeah.
And I went, how young? Because then.
Sorry, I found out. I think I have a little bit of gum in my pocket. I washed it. Sorry.
Awesome. So.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
But she said, yes, she said that she does, again, she doesn't go all the way there. I hate that I feel this way, but I went, oh, I do understand a little bit what Rob is talking about. Sophie always just puts a crumb. She's not necessarily lying, but she withholds. So she said, well, I've been with women a little bit.
Yeah.
It's like Callum. Oh, she does this. Think about it. Every time she's like, oh, I just forgot to tell him that we were boyfriend. Or right. I forgot. So she's so scared of someone not loving her or right. accepting her. She doesn't tell you the whole story.
Yeah.
That's what a codependent person does, because they don't right. they don't want to make you upset.
But Rob and Rob
but
needs to
lying.
And Rob is with her because he needs to exploit this.
But also understand why it feels like he feels like they both feel like the other person's lying to them all the time. They're the worst
for
one another. Should
we move on to our first segment with Lauren and Alexi, right?
Sure, yeah. We can do that. And then we'll end with Patrick and Tice.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Ariel. Happy birthday to Nails on a Chalkboard. People singing the happy birthday song.
They had months to bought the rights to do it.
It's gone now.
It's gone. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh.
It's finally in public domain. That family that owned Happy Birthday for so long is now just like sitting there counting their money.
Wow.
It's in public domain now. So, y'all, I don't think these two couples need any introduction.
No, they show all the flashback. When we know it.
They've known each other for 10 years, married for 8. There's nothing really that we...
I did forget how hot he was. He is a hot man.
The thing is, y'all, if you follow Lauren on her Instagram, I'm sorry. One of her favorite things is to talk about #303. Which I could claw my skin off.
It's Shy, Asher, and Ariel. Yeah, Ariel.
Because they actually know what family planning is. And you chose it. You chose 303. You chose it every day. You choose it every day. But it's also your main identity. Don't make your #303 your own identity.
I'm interested to see as she goes along if she regretted doing that. Because this storyline seems a little bit about she kind of wants to, she's gotten wrapped up in so much mom stuff and she wants to take a part of that of herself back in that way.
I could see that.
Because a lot of people do that, you know, they like have kids and they're in it.
I think she's going to continue to use that hashtag till the wheels fall off.
I'm like, honey, you're gonna get some parts of yourself back, but you've got 3 kids. And
it's
you're
important
gonna be busy.
Everyone knows how hard her life is. It's important people know.
I think, well, yeah, it does. Look, Lauren is why Lauren was good TV on 90 Day Fiancé is she can be a bit of a drama queen.
A bit, yeah.
A bit, yeah.
And her mother's an actual goblin.
the fights that they get into are epic.
So, Lexi's dad is over helping for a while. And because Lauren is going to get the mommy makeover. If anybody doesn't know what that is, as our resident plastic surgery expert, do you want to tell us
what's interesting? I actually
it is called the mommy makeover. It is a thing that a lot of women do after giving birth.
I don't know fully what's involved. She talks about it in this, but
it is a generally agreed upon procedure of about 4 or 5 different procedures.
Yeah, it usually involves something with the boobs. You know, I have a lot of women. My own mother had that is it dysplasia? Is that what it's called?
Abdominal.
And it basically what that is, if you don't know what that is,
that's diastasis.
Like where you're, I remember my mother sobbing and sobbing and sobbing because she went to the doctor because she would work out. She would do all this ab stuff. Yeah. And she always kind of had, and look, some people are like, I'm fine with that. Pooch, that's my body, my uterus, like, fuck yeah. You. That's what, so this is great. I'm just talking about from my mom and Lauren's perspective. So we are not telling you what to do with your body, y'all. But it was like, because you're basically like your abs are separated, like yeah. with either scar, because my mom had C-sections too.
So both?
All three for my, because the first baby passed away. So it created all the scar tissue. So like she would never have a flat stomach again, mm-hmm. ever. So that's why a lot of women do get a tummy tuck.
Yeah.
For in that kind of stuff. Yeah.
This is, but Marlene, her mother, of course, says, I'm not a fan of elective surgery. God forbid something should happen.
Her mother. So this is what I think. Y'all know that I don't have a problem with plastic surgery, and I'm not saying everybody needs to get this, but I love this for Lauren. If you want to get this done, great. I don't love the term mommy makeover.
Me either.
But the reason I don't love it, it's because women get shamed for having plastic surgery in culture, period. And people, y'all, I know this, like, I didn't tell a lot of people all what I was doing because what I learned, as soon as I mentioned that I was going to do something, everyone had so many fucking opinions about what to do with mm-hmm. my body. Everyone. And friends just saying, oh, you don't need to do that. Shut the fuck up. It's my body. I'm not a bad person. Lauren's not. She's not. This isn't someone like maybe Darcy, or this isn't someone like she, but yeah. Yes, she talks about having body dysmorphia issues, but I think she's going about this in a healthy way. But we have to call it, quote, mommy makeover, because then that makes it socially acceptable.
I was still upset that you didn't get your ears pinned.
Exactly. I just want to say this, though.
I wanted you to have more.
I feel for Lauren because of the platform she is in. And I hope that she can kind of, because I will say, y'all, this woman has had people talking about her body and her appearance from day one on 90 Day
Fiancé.
It's
really true.
And
yeah.
I think that's why I have, even though she can be a drama queen and stuff like that, I like her. I have sympathy for her because, y'all, she has,
Tourette's.
She has Tourette's. And when the first season happened, she would have tics. And everybody fucking yep. made fun of her tits.
She's been talked about
her body relentlessly.
The reasons why I don't really like her have nothing to do with her tics. I have things more to do with her behavior, both on the tell-alls.
That was egregious. Her and Pal were terrible.
And also her social media.
Yeah. She can get a little mean girl. That's true. I forgot about
that. But
her and Pal were terrible.
But I think more than anything else, the term mommy makeover feels like to me is, okay, I've been a mommy. Now I had my mommy body. Now make me over back into a hot woman's body. And I think that is so awful and limiting.
And I don't think Lauren is doing that. I think because I get it. I always wanted to have my neck done. And when I do that now, I look, y'all, it's so much And again, please don't message me and say, but I thought you looked fine before. I say this with love. I don't fucking care what you think.
Yeah.
I look at a picture now and I feel like that's the person I am on the inside and mm-hmm. always wanted to be. It matches for me and I feel more confident in that. And that's, so if you're thinking about getting plastic surgery, my advice, don't fucking tell anyone. It's none of their goddamn
Not
business.
Even your family?
You tell I didn't tell you half of what, because I knew all the love to you. You would be like, why are you doing? Because everybody has a fucking opinion.
Yeah.
And I told my mother what I was getting done. And I told my neighbor what I was getting done. And that's fucking it.
I think what I was saying is, I think I was asking,
it doesn't
is,
come with bad intentions. You're, but it's still,
you're, you didn't, you need to tell people you're getting it done. You just don't wind up and get surgery without telling your family.
No, no, you tell them you have surgery, but you can go say whatever you. I told people I was doing my neck. I didn't tell them I was doing the other things because it was none of their business. And so that's all I'm saying. Just
right.
Do, because this shit with Marlene, basically telling her she's a bad mother for doing this.
I gotta say, though, this is a really common kind of boomer age thing to say.
My mother didn't.
Well, you are the exception.
Mother, my mom had only, I think if my mom hadn't had plastic surgery before, because she hates it when I have elective surgery. She does it same for her pets. She feels like every time they go under, they're gonna die.
So you think if she hadn't have had plastic surgery before, she would have been completely opposed?
She would have so, but I probably, I don't know if I would have told her.
Wow.
I would have maybe told her the day before like she did me when she had plastic surgery.
That's filthy. Nice. Glad we have a perfect, healthy.
She's better about that now because I was like, Mom, give me some advance notice.
I think what, it's interesting. None of them are really listening to Lauren about what it would do for her mentally, her own spiritual and well-being.
Yeah.
Because, y'all, she has suffered through her weights fluctuated up and down, and she's been really vocal about how it makes her feel.
Yeah.
And people have really come for her appearance on... let's say she's a woman who... wears pregnancy, you can tell she's a pregnant woman. Let's leave it there.
She says like she gets bloated and like has a lot of swelling, and they were not comfortable. If I remember correctly, she hated being pregnant.
Yeah, she did.
She was very uncomfortable. Can you imagine? I just had an image of what you would be like 8 months pregnant. That would be. Oh
yeah, that would be bad. I'd be miserable. And I would just scream the whole time. I would just scream at everyone.
You would just, we'd just wake
I'd
up
just
in the morning and hear
chicken legs. Just bring me more food.
You would make everybody's life a living hell around you too.
I have a baby. I'm pregnant. I'm bringing a baby into this world. You better treat me like a fucking queen. That's what I would be like. I have no problem with pregnant women who are like that.
I don't either. They're doing a lot.
Just don't turn into like when we were in a plane and this woman with this child literally had this conversation like they're like, you told me you didn't want a snack. Well, you just told me you just told me pick up your water, blah, 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 blah. And like chattering. It wasn't good parenting.
Poodle turned to me on the flight. He said, I realize I'm just like my mother.
My mother is, well, the woman is just carrying on this conversation with
this
child.
She had a very long conversation with a 1.5-year-old.
You told me you didn't want a snack. You've asked me 12 times. I'm not going to give you a snack now. Do you understand why I can't give you a snack now? Because blah, 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 blabberly, blabber, blabber, chatter, chatter, chatter.
I wanted to kind of play and talk to the baby, but then I knew you'd yell at me.
I wouldn't have allowed it. So there, Alexi's talking to Marlene, and the recovery is 8 weeks. They're worried just about how to pull this together if Lauren can't pick up the kids.
Yeah, you can after a tummy tuck.
I think these people have a village with Marlene there. The parents are down there now.
Mm-hmm. Isn't her sister down there too?
The sister and her kind of...
They had a falling out.
Yeah.
They didn't really love each other back then.
She liked her friend.
There's no way two sisters get along with having Marlene for a mother.
Absolutely not.
She's been Grandma Hazeling them. What Grandma Hazel did to Aunt Darla and Aunt Peggy.
The family is a tense dynamic, her family is.
Yeah, and I know they had their own spinoff with David and Annie for a while.
I didn't watch it.
We just didn't have time and we didn't watch it.
No, I didn't want to watch it.
And nobody watched it. Yeah. I think that's why it stopped. But apparently, Alexi talked about they originally wanted to move back to Israel, but now the parents flipped out about that. And so ever since then, he's saying that, because the last time we saw them, he had a great relationship with their parents, and that's not the case anymore.
It's her parents aren't her dad's okay. her mom's awful. And they, yeah. they're a cancer on their relationship.
I think so.
It they need to set some boundaries. But basically, Marlene and Alexi are kind of teaming up. And he's saying it's the last chance to sabotage her plans. I was like, that's a terrible way to think about this.
Yes.
Maybe just, I could understand his idea about elective surgery as well. But like, I think at the end of the day, it's her body.
He's the one actually that I think that's only seeing it. Like he says, yeah, I don't want it. But he says, Lauren's going to do what she wants
exactly.
to do.
Exactly.
What am I supposed to do? And
yeah.
So he's kind of the only one seeing it as such where no one else is.
It's not very high stakes to me. I'll just be honest.
I was super interested in it because, you know,
But I feel like I've seen the whole thing.
Yeah, I think, yeah, it's...
Pantice, there ain't much here, y'all. We're packing. The only thing I thought is put some... you don't need powder formula. You can literally take an entire suitcase of formula with you of like liquid formula.
Patrick's like, yeah, because I could think it's drugs.
But I'm saying not powder, even liquid formula. Oh. Just take another suitcase of liquid formula.
I don't know why.
I don't know.
I know people that travel. You know what? We don't understand the things of formula. Formula sissies don't come at us. We're two gay, childless men. This is what I have a problem with. Why are you bringing your dog to Brazil?
I agree.
We've got a six-month-old baby.
Your
drunk brother's coming. Yes, you've got one gimp leg. Let's bring the Pomeranian. The fuck?
It may be just that she can't be without the dog. We forget. So that may have to do that. But it's ridiculous. I
felt a little bit better when I found out that they actually had their own apartment there. Because I was like, it's still, though, that's a lot to travel with.
Her father still wants to talk to him because he asked for the blessing before, but he didn't really get it. Her father's
and
a tough
Patrick's
customer.
Like, I don't understand. We have a baby, but sure, I'm going to do what it seems pointless, but I'll do it to make it right by Thais.
Anyway, so we've landed in Brazil.
Yep.
And everyone's great. The baby, the dog, leg.
It was really easy. Everything's great. So let's call dad.
So dad calls. He's like, hey, you little bastard. Sounds like things are great.
So this is...
That's just a term of affection, you little bastard.
I'm saying this now. This maybe was fraudacity and they didn't have problems until they both got to the country where both of their fathers are.
Then...
Remember John and Patrick's relationship and they're both going to be around their dad?
And their dad, Jose. Yeah, so they're in dad's apartment and Pat pays rent. I guess or maybe he pays the whole rent for his dad.
I don't know. I think the
whole rent. And the dad comes in and Thais is like, well, thought it was going to be us tonight, but guess not. Here we go.
That's why she didn't see her own dad. She said, let's get the baby down, get everybody settled, and we'll see you tomorrow when we're rested and everybody feels good.
So it's going to be... It's probably going to be a big cluster of his father, John, her father and family.
I actually think
it's gonna be messy.
I didn't think this was going to be interesting. I think this is going to be fucking Good Will Hunting all over again. I think this might be some riveting television because we see next week. Dad is like, hey, while you're here, can you just paint the whole entire apartment? It looks like a dump. Thanks for paying my rent, by the way. Can I get a new dishwasher?
Betty. No, we have to paint the house. My favorite part of the day is when you're not here. And I hope I don't show you up. Show painting up, painting the house. Give me some more Brazilian food. I like parties.
And last line Thais says is, she says, the problem is, and this is going to keep coming up, Patrick can't say no to anyone.
Yep, that is true.
And that drives her fucking crazy.
True.
That's our Canada show. I'm eating a ketchup chip.
I don't like them.
They're delicious.
I don't like them.
Sissies.
go to Reality Gaze Podcast on our Instagram. Go to our website, Reality Gaze. We just before our time, we did all this episode in one episode. So we talked about every couple. Yeah. So we'll keep kind of playing around and see.
We're going to play around with format. Sometimes we like the episode in one.
It's easier kind of to just episode. Do a little bit longer episode than doing two separate episodes.
We're playing with that.
So you're still really.
You're getting everything.
If someone bitches about it, then I want you to take that thought and before it comes out of your mouth.
Stick it up your ass.
Put a little zipper on your mouth. Because we're doing the best we can.
We're doing the best we can.
Anyway, and also sometimes on Hey, it's like not a lot to talk about with couples. Yeah. All right, everybody. But thank you again, Toronto. What a wonderful showing Canada came out for us. And we deeply appreciate it. We had a wonderful time last night. And I'm going to be here for a day. So I'm on a hunt for a Mountie. I haven't seen it.
I don't think there are any in Toronto.
What?
Sorry. Sorry.
Why do we come here? That was the whole point. I wanted to see a raccoon and get fucked by a Mountie.
Well, we saw a raccoon. You got that.
We call these people lonely hearts because aren't we all just lonely hearts looking for love in all the wrong places?
And today we're wishing you all a nice double-double. You Canucks. Go Leafs!
Call us